Thank you for being here this morning. We appreciate you being here. We know different ones are vacationing and different things like that, but you're here, and I thank you for being here. And God's got a purpose for us being here. He knew who'd be here today, so He's here with us. So I thank you for that. I want to deal with a topic this morning the Lord has put on my heart. As I said before, I always try to minister something to you that makes you think, makes you think maybe all through the week, because I found out when we are charged with our thinking, it makes us learn things. But I want us to learn how to deal with guilt. I want to talk about dealing with guilt. I want to go to the book of 1 John, and I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, I love studying His Word. Because every time I study His Word, it's like a new light comes on, a new revelation. And it's just simply God unveiling another page. Because no matter how long you study His Word, I've been studying it a long time, you'll never understand it all. He only reveals to you when you need understanding. So, you remember I told you when we're studying the Word of God, always understand what that letter or book is talking about. Sometimes people take scriptures out. You've heard them say, take it out of context. In other words, take a scripture out that doesn't mean what it says it means. But when I began to study, the Lord began to deal with me about guilt, because a lot of people are in bondage. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about people who have asked forgiveness in their heart, but they still deal with a heaviness and a guilt and a lack of freedom. And I want to tell you this, it is the will of God that we be free. Jesus paid a tremendous price, and I thank God every Sunday morning when we do our communion. I really do, this is really something out of my heart, I just thank God for His sacrifice so much for us. He paid such a price. Do you imagine the people that's going to church this morning thinking they got done God a favor? God, you ought to be thankful I'm here today. And all that He did for us. Thank God, in our assembly, we take time out to remember the basics. Because if it were not for His blood, if it were not for His sacrifice, none of us would have anything today. And so, I begin to think about why Christians are dealing, you know, they've asked the Lord to forgive them, but yet they still deal with bondage. Where does that come from? Why is that? Is that God's way of just keeping us in check to let us know, hey, I've done you a favor, but you better watch your step? No, that's not God at all, because that's not His character. So, He led me here to 1 John, and I'm going to preach you some word today. I'm going to give you the word today, something you can bite your teeth into. And when I begin to study why 1 John was written, 1 John, John being the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he wrote 1 John because there was a situation going on, and here's the word, Docetism. It's D-O-C-E-T-I-S-M, Docetism. This was a teaching that was going around saying that Jesus was just a phantom, an illusion. He wasn't really real. He's just a fragment of imagination. Can you imagine that? Back in that day, that's what they were teaching. And John writes this letter to affirm and remind people that He is real. We live in the same, and I begin to put it all together. God's so awesome. I begin to put it all together. You know what the devil tells us when you've asked the Lord to come into your heart? God, forgive me. I'm sorry for my sins. Isn't that how He operates too? Oh, you didn't really, nothing really happened to you. You're the same old person. You got the same old thoughts. You got the same old disposition. There's nothing different about you. You know, how many of you know He's a liar? And that's what He does best. And so, I understand. I said, God, you're so awesome. You led me to 1 John, and that's why He's writing this letter. Because there was people teaching all this Jesus stuff. He wasn't even real. But He is real. So, What is the purpose of forgiveness anyway? Isn't that God forgives us of our sins? He forgives us of our sins. He does a perfect work. Do you think when Jesus died on the cross, he did a half a work? He gave his life. You can't do much better than that. He gave everything he's got for us. So he's real. God forgives sins. But still, you got to deal with the feelings of guilt and condemnation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Guilt and condemnation does not come from God. The Bible teaches us that there's now no more condemnation. Isn't it right? How many of you know that God don't want you to love him because he beats you down all the time and reminds you, you got to remember where I brought you from. He's not that way. So let's look at 1 John. I don't know how far we'll get because I really want you to get this message. Because I believe every single one of us deal with guilt from time to time. Heaviness. Bondage. No freedom. Why am I feeling this way? I must not be doing enough. I must not be working enough for my salvation. How many of you know that salvation is not by works? Amen. Do you know that? There's nothing you can do to be saved. It's a gift from God. So guilt and condemnation is nowhere in God's vocabulary because he don't require you to do anything. You only believe that he did it all. That's what believing's all about. It's believing that he did this for me. Let me say that again. Believing is not a mystery. I just believe that when I take communion on Sunday, Jesus did spill his blood for me. I believe that. Amen. So let's look at what 1 John says. verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now, he's alluding to Jesus. He's dealing with a group of people who say, Jesus is not real. You didn't really get saved. Well, if you got saved, you'd be changed. How many of you know change doesn't always come overnight? Sometimes it's a lifestyle of change. All right? So, if I'm saved by faith, I'm not saved by works. So God is patient with me in my works because I'm trying to work this thing out to the best of my ability. But God says, you're not saved by works, you're saved by faith. Amen. I want you to get that. When you said, Father, come into my heart, he came in by faith, and we believe that he died on the cross for me so that I could be saved. All right? So he says, that which was from the beginning, now he's reminding these people, which we have heard and we have seen. Who's he talking about? Talking about Jesus. So he can't be a phantom. He can't be a ghost. He can't be a fragment of your imagination because John reminds them, we've seen him with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. I put my hands on him. He's real. I want to tell you what, your salvation is real. It did, get this, you got to get this. When you ask him to come in your heart, he did everything you need right then. Amen. There's no partial salvation. There's no little bit salvation. There's no monthly salvation. You think the thief on the cross was saved? Do you think he was? He said, Father, remember me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Jesus said, today you're going to be remembered. You think he said, well, wait a minute, you don't have the full salvation yet. You have to hang on that cross a little bit longer. No, I'm so glad God don't leave us hanging. Amen. Look what he said. I'm giving you the word now. For the life was manifested, which we have seen it. Talking about Jesus, the life. And bear witness and show unto you the eternal life, which was the Father and was manifested unto who? Us. Eternal life. Jesus was eternal life. So when the devil's beating on you tomorrow morning and telling you you're not even saved, you turn around, you tell him, you're a liar. Jesus did a complete work with me, for me on Calvary. And when I asked him to come into my heart, he came into my heart, and I am saved no matter how I feel. Amen. That which we have seen and heard declared we unto you, that you also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. So he built a relationship with us and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. Joy is a position. It's not a feeling. Now I want you to get this scripture here. I want you to get this right here. This is so good. Go right on down now. Verse 9. I want to read all of it to you, but don't have time. You read it in your study this week. Let me back up to verse 8. Yeah, I'll keep on. I'll read it all. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. True. John's trying to say, yes, there's sin in the world. There's sin. You deal with sin every day. You deal with it in your bodies, in your mind, whatever. You deal with sin. But when God done a work in you, he done it complete. Listen, when you get to heaven, you're going to have a different body. But right now, while you got this body, you're going to deal with things. But one thing you don't have to worry about, when you ask him to come into your heart, he came. Your salvation is there. Look at verse 9. I love this. Now you need to underline this. Get your crayon out or something and underline this right here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Praise God. What does it say? And just. Now look at the word just there. What does that mean? He's the judge and the jury. He's the one that makes the decision. And the judge said that if you confess your sins and you believe it in your heart, forgive it, he says, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see that? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. So listen, you're going to deal with sin. Look what verse 2 says. Chapter 2 says, I like this. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, what does that say right there? I love God and I love his word because it's real. Be aware of them people that walk around and say, I never sin. I never do nothing wrong. I'm always perfect. Carry a ball bat with you when you walk around with them people. Amen. Because they're not right. Because the Bible says he don't want us to sin. Oh, yeah, it's okay. You just got to do anything you want to do. This or no. When you fall in love with Jesus, you fall in love with him, you want to let things go. Okay? But how many of you know you don't do it overnight? Sometimes you deal with stuff in your life. You deal with situations, problems, whatever. Let me tell you, just because you got issues in your life, God don't throw you away. When he saved you, he saved you. How many of you got children part-time? What does that mean? How many, as long as they're good, you love them. But when they mess up, you kick them out. No, you still love them, right? You want to kick them out. How many mamas say amen? You want to kick them out sometime, and then you go back and get them because you love them so much. But they're yours. Our brother preached it this morning. He's about to preach my sermon this morning. We've been adopted. He loves us. You ain't going to have a little suitcase and a little coat laid over out because you mess up. He ain't going to say, well, I don't want you no more. He's saying you're going to have issues because of this flesh, because of this sin nature that's in the world. I know you are. But my salvation is bigger and greater than that. I take my hand and put on you, and the devil can't have you. Amen. Now, you're going to have to deal with this flesh. But he said, my little children, he loves us. He said, I don't want you to sin. Don't think that I just want you to go out there. I can just do anything I want to do. No, it's not about that. He says, but I love this part right here. Underline this. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus, the righteous. You see that? I love that verse. You've got Jesus interceding on your behalf every day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. George, we just need to stop and give God praise today for all He does for us. Amen? He is our Redeemer. He loves us beyond. We don't even love ourselves like He loves us. And gave Himself for us. That was a beautiful story this morning. In God's kingdom, you'll never see a little suitcase sitting out there. You'll never see your coat throw it over the suitcase. You want to know why? Because you've got a home in the kingdom. And He said, I love you enough that I'm going to be with you. The devil is a liar that tells us every time we stump our toe or every time we make a mistake, well, you don't even have nothing. You don't have nothing. Who is he to tell me what I have? What I'm reading you this morning is law. What I'm reading you this morning is word. This word is law. Heaven and earth are built on this word. So when the devil starts telling you you don't have, you tell him you do have. Amen. Now when he starts saying, you're right. I'm messed up. But God makes beautiful things out of messes. Turn to the one beside him and say, you're a mess. That was your chance. That was somebody's chance right there. I love what verse 2 says here. I'm laying a foundation. I know I got to hurry up. I'm still in the introduction. And he is, verse 2, in the propitiation. That's a big word for our sins. You know what that word just means? He covers us. That juice we drank this morning symbolize the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. Look what he covered. Our sins. And not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Is that beautiful or what? So why do we have guilt? Why do we have condemnation? If God did all this, does he change his mind? Does he want to remind us all that he did to keep us in check? No. But I tell you, there is one that does, the devil. So I want to start out by saying guilt is a problem. Why is it a problem? Because when God died on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, he destroyed guilt. Now there was a guilt. We were guilty of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, We were guilty of sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, the word propitiation, he covered our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus had to go to the cross and he had to spill blood because blood was the only way to cleanse us from our sins. I want to tell you something. Until you sacrifice like that, you don't need to say nothing to God. Amen? All you got to do is give him praise and honor for what he's done for us. But there was guilt. But when Jesus died on the cross, he broke that guilt. But today, guilt's still a problem. Why? Because we keep that guilt. Stay with me now. I wrote down exactly the way he was giving it to me. You know what he said? Some people are addicted to guilt. The devil has them in such a state of mind that they cannot understand what he did for them. And listen to this. I wrote this down too. This was something good he said. He said, this is their way of paying for what they did. So if I stay guilty all the time, and I stay in bondage all the time, and I'm never free, Yeah, I did ask the Lord to come to my heart, but you just don't know what I did, and you just don't know where I've been, and you just don't know what I've done. The devil loves that. That's music to his ears, because until you deal with guilt, you'll never move forward. And you don't have what it takes to deal with guilt. But Jesus did. We feel that we got to pay. And I want to say this to you. Write this down. Feelings of guilt is a huge problem. They are feelings. But they're feelings that are coming from the enemy, not from God. Well, why don't I feel saved? Did you confess your sins? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus died? Do you believe there's a God? Do you believe that He really saved you from sins? Yes. But I still feel guilty. I still feel that's wrong. That's not coming from God. Do you hear me? I want you to get that. That is not coming from God. But isn't that God's way of kind of keeping me in check to make sure I don't get out of the way? No. The Holy Spirit loves you. How many of you take your child every day and cross them, keep crossing the road just to see if they can or not? You don't do that. You protect them. You guide them. You direct them. And that's what Jesus does for us every single day. They're feelings. I want you to get that. They're feelings. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have dealt with these feelings? How many of you are dealing with these feelings? Evidently somebody is, or God wouldn't have led me to minister this. John 3:16 is a beautiful scripture that we all know. It says that if we confess our sins and believe, we shall be saved. Isn't that what it says? If we confess our sins and believe, we shall be saved. If we confess our sins and believe, we shall be saved. Now I want you to turn to Romans. Put your bookmark there. And let's go. Turn to the left and let's go back to Romans. I want you to get this. So guilt's a problem. I can't be free. I can't seem to get forward. I can't seem to be moving because I'm reminded of all this stuff I've done. I want to say this to you. Can you give me a few more minutes? I want to say this to you. If you're ever reminded of anything you've ever done after you've asked God to forgive you, it did not come from God. I want you to get that. Well, you know, I do pretty good, and then I'm reminded of when this happened and that happened. Have you asked God to forgive you? Yes. Have you asked God to come into your heart? Yes. Well, let me read to you. I wanted to give you the Word. I don't want you to take what I say. I want you to look at what the Word says. Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? That means I know there's a God. I know He's real. I know Jesus is real. I believe that. I believe He's real. Amen. Can you believe that with me this morning? I believe He's real. Look what it says. And shalt believe this in your heart. I don't know how He does all He does, but I know there's a God. All right. That God hath raised Him from the dead. What is that next part? Maybe you'll be saved. Half the time you'll be saved. If you feel like it, you'll be saved. Isn't that what it says? Nope. What does it say? Thou shalt. Now this is King James. You know, how are you doing today? Thou doing good? You know, that's how they talk back then. We don't talk like that. What's up? That's what we talk. He said, thou shalt be saved. Put it in our vocabulary. Did you ask the Lord? Did you really mean it? Did you really mean it in your heart, Lord? I'm sorry for this. I'm just so sorry for this. Please forgive me. Guess what? The Bible says at that moment, you were saved. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's of your heart, not your mind, because you can't figure this thing out. I've actually had people tell me, I have done so many bad things in my life, I can't see how God, or I can't understand how God can save somebody like me. You're exactly right, because we can't figure it out in our brain. You can't figure it out. I don't know how He loves me and keeps loving me as much as I mess up. I just don't see how He loves me. But I can't keep living my life going back. Well, I might be saved. I think I'm saved. Maybe I'll be saved. I got to believe it. Amen. Yeah, well, you think you're saved? You just messed up. Yeah, but I got an advocate with the Father. I just read you that scripture. Who is Christ Jesus, who intercedes for me. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, that mouth, your mouth, confession is made. What does it say? Unto. You see that word unto? This carries you in to salvation. Is that beautiful or what? Amen. That is beautiful. So, relationship with God, as you understand, number one, guilt is a problem. Guilt is a problem because it wants to hold you back. Understand that feelings of guilt is a huge problem. Understand that if you have feelings of guilt, they did not come from God. And I want you to get this. Relationship is believing. When you believe, you begin a relationship with God. Many people suffer from guilt and condemnation, and it affects their relationship with God because you think God loves you like people love you. People will love you as long as you are lovable, but God will love you when you're unlovable. Guilt, I want you to get this. Guilt comes from sin. You were made in the image of guilt. Why is guilt removed? 5 more minutes. Why is guilt removed? Because there was a penalty that had to be paid. Jesus paid the price. He gave Himself a ransom for our sins. Salvation is by faith and not feelings. When Jesus died on that cross, that was salvation. Am I making any sense this morning? And remember this, when the devil says, you're not even saved, can you remember in your mind, can you think in your mind, and can you say, I believe Jesus died on that cross? I believe Jesus died on this cross. If I believe that, that's salvation. Salvation's not coming to church. Salvation's not being good. Salvation's not doing all these works. Salvation is by faith. What does the word say? Alone. I'm attacking the devil's kingdom this morning because he makes you feel, well, you didn't go to church today, you're not saved. You didn't read your Bible today, you're not saved. You didn't pray today, you're not saved. He's a liar. Amen. And in Wayne County terms, he's a bald-faced liar. Amen. That's even worse. That's the worst kind of liar. Because if I can remember the cross, that is everything. Listen, everything we live for, everything we're based on is on the cross. That's why the cross is so powerful. That's why the devil tried to get him not to go to the cross or come down off that cross. If you're the Son of God, come on down. No, I'm not going to come down. because this cross is going to seal what I'm doing. And so if you can believe that Jesus died on the cross by faith, not feelings, you're saved. Closing, Satan attacks us with our guilt. So real quick, what is guilt? Guilt is the penalty or the trespass of sin. When Jesus died on that cross, He covered all that with His blood. Guilt has been paid. So, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And one of the things Satan loves to do is torment you with guilt. You'll never be a different person. You're always going to have that habit. You're always going to be this. You're always going to be that. If you can believe in that cross, you shall be saved. In other words, you're saved. Okay? And the rest of it, you give to God. We're going to talk about next week how to deal with this guilt. But Satan torments with guilt. God loves you with grace. You are saved by His blood. Give Him praise. You know what will get the devil going faster than anything else? When he comes around telling you how much you're not, you just start thanking God anyway. One thing I learned one time, there was, you know, I come up with low self-esteem, and I deal with that a lot. And there's times that you'll be surprised sometimes the feelings I get before I walk in this pulpit, that who you think you are, blah, 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 all that junk. You know how the devil does. I just feel like somebody else needs to be doing this. But I'm reminded, Jesus reminds me that He paid the price. And now there's no more condemnation. You're in me. And if I can love you like you are, then don't worry about what the devil tells you. Amen? And so what I learned how to get back at the devil is like this. When he starts telling me, you're this and you're that, I say, you're exactly right. Man, you're a genius. You're exactly right. I'm all that and more. But He loves me anyway. He loves me anyway. The devil just scratches his head and walks off. Because he can't deal with that. I give you some scripture today. I give you the word. I give you the foundation of life. You hold on to it. You study it. And when you're dealing with depression and you're dealing with heaviness and you're dealing with all that stuff that the devil will bring, you remind him you are redeemed of the Lord. You're a child of the King. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for all that you did for us. Lord, we can't say enough. It seems so little just to say thank you, but you died on that cross. You who knew no sin became Ronnie's sin. You became that for me so that I can live in victory. Not that I won't have battles, but now I can fight with the word. I confess and I believe I am saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.